like to welcome you here today to be with us at the Sky Family Lodge to enjoy some Sunday fellowship together with you. We hope that the weather is warmer where you are than it is here. We've been spending the week working on our new concert hall, and it's been down into the negative numbers frequently. But God has enabled us to continue, and it's looking good, and it should be hopefully ready by the summer. And hopefully we'll see you then, and you can see the new Skies Performance Center in person in the summer. Let us, before we begin today, let us ask God's blessing on this time together. Oh Lord God, we pray that you would bless our time. We pray that you would be greatly lifted up. We pray that you would be exalted in our lives today. We pray that you would cause us to cleave to you. We pray, oh Lord God, that we would have an unshakable faith. We pray, oh Lord God, that you would cause us to rise up in the midst of our surroundings and to be strengthened with a great boldness to stand with you. I pray, oh Lord God, that it would be you who would speak today and not me, because you alone have the words of life. You alone have the words of life. So we pray that you'd be glorified and magnified this day in each person's life and in this hour that we have together. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our job is to encourage one another and to strengthen one another. And we are told in the scripture not to be surprised at the fiery trials that are among us. And as the day of the Lord approaches, as God's return comes ever nearer, we find that the heat of these fiery trials will and is being cranked up. And so God's people are enduring great difficulty. And it says that a time of severe testing will come upon all the earth, to the point where Jesus himself says, "Will the Son of Man find faith when he returns to the earth?" And so we know from that it is going to be a time of severe testing and difficulty. And my response to Jesus' question, "Will he find faith on earth?" My response to that in our mission is to say, "Yes, Lord, there will be faith here on earth when you come. Yes, Lord, let it be that you will find faith on earth." And so we are to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to speak to one another, to stand firm and to hold fast until the end. Now, these testings that are coming upon us and ever increasing, almost like a woman in labor, what exactly are these testings and what do they look like, and what are God's people going through right now? Well, the testings come primarily in two different ways. The first is found in Matthew chapter 25 in the parable of the 10 virgins. Jesus in this parable instructs us. He says that there's 10 virgins who are waiting the bridegroom, and what happens to them? They all fall asleep. They all fell asleep. And so this, of course, is not a physical sleep, which Jesus is alluding to, but he's referring to a state of spiritual sleep where we are asleep to the things of God. Now, for those who were privileged and blessed to have met Jesus during the Jesus movement of the 70s, as I was, you know what it was like to have Jesus as our food and our drink each day. That spending time with the Lord was more important than anything else, and we would do anything, fellowship any time of day or night, just to spend some more precious time with the Lord. And I tell my family, I talk to them, for those who know Keith Green and appreciate what a great light he is from the Lord. Well, I tell my family, Keith is a great brother, but he was doing no more than representing what we all felt, how everyone was. We were delirious with the joy of God, and we loved to be with him. And it was a wonderful time, but now it is a very rare thing indeed to find someone who has that zeal and that love for God. Then the question is, why is it? What has happened since the Jesus movement in the 70s until right now? What has taken place that has caused that zeal for God to cool to such a state that now you can rarely get 5 people together to pray? You can rarely get 2 people together to pray and to seek the Lord for no reason except to be with the Lord. And what has happened that has caused this to take place? Well, the society has been flooded, absolutely inundated, with worldly distractions. And our God has become worldly entertainment, and that media fills our eyes and our ears day after day, all day long and all night long. It fills us. And you know, this type of a great sweeping movement of polluting media did not just happen. It didn't just happen as a natural course of events. These things took place because we have a very crafty enemy. You know, our adversary, the devil, knows that if he persecutes the church, he will cause the church to grow strong and to multiply. Like over in China, how the church has been thriving under persecution, and now there's more on fire Christians in China than any place in the world. Well, the devil doesn't want to repeat that mistake. And so over here in the West, instead of making us to be strong, multiplying Christians, instead of sending persecution to us, he has sent a wave of distracting media. He has opened instead a Pandora's box of every lustful distraction imaginable. Things that would grab our attention, things that will not let us rest, things that will pull us and grab us and send us into stimulating the passions, the very passions which Jesus says must be put to death. We find that all of our media and entertainment are causing these very things to be stimulated into life more than ever before. And he's flooded us with an irresistible tide, and everybody is caught in it. Everyone is bombarded by these things. And this testing alone, is sufficient for Jesus to ask the question, when he comes, will there be any faith on earth? This alone is enough, because for those who embrace these things without reservation, the answer to that question is no. No, there is no faith in the homes and in the hearts where the media is led to go by itself without restraint. There is no faith there, because though there may be a form of outward seeking of the Lord and going to church, the real gods are sought day by day by day by day. Sports, entertainment, worldly distractions, worldly gizmos, everything that there is in this world, their affections betray their heart. Their affections betray their heart. Where your heart is, that's where you spend your time. That's where you go when you want comfort. Is to where your heart is and where your God is. And so all of these lustful, violent forms of entertainment we have today, whether it's video or internet or video games, this lustful violence has taken over like a disease every place. And for those who have unbridled media in your lives, I have this word of encouragement to say to you. Be afraid. Be really afraid. As it says in Revelation 2, verse 4, this I have against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds which you did at first. Or else I am coming to you, and I will remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Oh, this is very serious. These very worldly distractions that are in our lives take the place of God. They crowd God out, and God no longer has a place. The love that we had in the Jesus movement did not die in a night or a week or a year. It was eroded over decades, where more and more distractions came in and lulled us into a state of passivity, so we forgot about the vibrant love of God. And for those who don't repent and come and be awakened and understand and see what's going on, they will have their lampstand taken away, according to the words of the Lord. So that's the first great area of testing which has come upon all the earth. All the earth. You know, the people who live over in the grass huts in Africa and on the various islands, do you know that in every grass hut they've got a TV and it pumps out the same filth from Hollywood that we have here and in New York City and all across the U.S.? It's the same garbage because everybody's connected. And so this is a severe test that's come upon the whole world to make us forget about God. And you're being tested right now, and your family's being tested. Your children are being tested beyond what you can imagine. This is a very, very, very serious thing. That's why the fellowship commitment that we have is so important. At first I thought it was just a nice voluntary thing. But the more I go, the further we go, the more mandatory it is. To take this fellowship commitment, which is to begin to abstain from worldly entertainment, via video, music, whatever it is, to abstain from it, that you might put away the pollution of this world and become blameless, innocent children of God in the midst of a perverse generation. You can pray and fast for an entire week, and if at the end of the week you watch a movie, the entire, all of the effort that you took will be undone in 2 hours. You'll forget even what you were praying about. You won't even remember there is a God. That's how much of a hold this stuff has on each person. So this is not an idle thing. This is not a nice thing that maybe we should think about doing. To be a spotless, blameless, innocent children of God today, you have to say no and turn it off and turn away from the world and face the living God and begin to seek Him. Now. Now is when the real testing starts. Once you make that decision, and you decide to stand against the flow, and stand in the midst of that amazing current and that tide, once you stand up for Jesus and say, I'm following after the Master. Once you have stood up at one of our concerts and come forward to be prayed for, and you've said, I want the Lord to be the love of my life, and I want to love Him more than anything else in this world. For all those many, many, many people across the U.S. and Canada who have made that commitment at one of our concerts to begin to seek the Lord with all your heart, now the real test begins. Phase 2. Wherever possible, the devil, your enemy, will use his bewitching craft to lull us into a forgetful state. That's his mode of choice, because it completely inoculates us to the things of God and we just simply die in our distractions. But for those who become alarmed, who become awakened, like those in a house that's on fire and they suddenly realize there's a smell of smoke and they have to get out, for those who become quickened and awakened, the devil takes off his kid gloves and he starts to wail. The people who have stood up in our conscience, you know who I'm talking about, you probably are one of them, and you're getting hammered right now. Because the devil hates it when people stand up for Jesus. And so we have the second phase of testing, which is poured out on those who want to stand up for the Lord. And that is that the Lord allows some freedom there to our enemy to afflict us. And so those who have made a conscious decision to stand with God, you're being hit with all types of catastrophes and disasters and difficulties and things that are beyond your comprehension that are making your head spin. And you don't know what's going on, but everything is just unraveling and becoming unbelievably difficult. And while you're going through one disaster after another, the devil is greatly oppressing your soul, and he's screaming into your ear, telling you that God's forgotten about you. That God doesn't care about you. He hasn't heard your prayers. He doesn't know. He doesn't care. And the devil begins to speak horrible blasphemous words against the faithfulness of God. And it has teeth. These words have teeth to them, because in the midst of our affliction, we are wondering, where is the Lord? Why is he letting this happen? What's going on? How come I prayed and nothing has happened? And we go through this testing period, and it goes a lot longer than we think it should. And our faith is taking a hammering. And this is the second reason why Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Because God's people are getting hammered, both physically, but more mentally, emotionally, spiritually, hammered with this idea that God has forgotten them, and that God doesn't even know where they are or what they're going through. And I know that many people who are with us today over the internet, I know that many of you are going through this exact thing. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And please remember, you are not alone. Every single brother and sister who is really serving the Lord and desiring to serve the Lord, they're getting hammered the same as you. And so be encouraged that you're not singled out. You are part of those that God has chosen to be his own. That special possession which Jesus has called for his own, each one of them. If you're being completely hammered into the dust, take heart with this. You have been specially chosen by God. And you are part of his great possession that the Father has given to him. And you know, when these tests come, we can endure for a season. You know, we can endure a hardship for a season and hold on there in faith. But when God allows it to go two seasons, or three seasons, or more, that's when our faith really, really, really gets hurt. Now, coupled with this, besides these things, those who are really making an effort to stand with the Lord, the devil is furious, and he's on a tear. And he's running around and he's filling the mouths and the hearts of those closest to you with all type of malicious slander and hatred, and bitterness and hard, hurtful words, and you're ostracized, and you're criticized, and you're slandered, because the devil hates you, and he knows he can get to you through those that you love the most. It'll be the people closest to you. It won't be somebody down the street. It won't be somebody you meet at the grocery store. It'll be not only a family member, it'll be the one that you love the most. It will suddenly turn on you. And so all these things combine to make this a time of great testing. And all those who desire to live righteously in the Lord are being tested like this. Everybody who desires to walk with the Lord in righteousness is being tested. And so endure, be encouraged. It's because you are doing the right thing that you're getting nailed. Pursue the Lord. Now, the question that begs to be asked is, why does God allow this to happen? Well, that's a great question. God allows this heat of this fire to be cranked up in order to burn out of us all the rest of the impurities that are in us. He allows the heat to be cranked up till we get to the point where Jesus is our only joy and our only comfort, and we run to Him continually. He allows the heat to be cranked up so that we become finally dead to the things of this world and to the loves of this world and to the approval of this world, to the point where this world and its ways does not mean one thing to us. That's why He cranks it up. It says in 2 John 2, if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. And there's a lot of love of the world that is still in us, isn't there? There's a lot of worldly love still in us. And so the Lord is allowing this heat to be cranked up in our lives so that we will finally, once and for all, abandon trying to find our joy in a silly, stupid, fruitless things in this world, the fickle things in this world, so that we will give up and find our joy in Him. And lastly, He cranks up the heat in order to separate His people unto Himself. He is allowing the world to get so bad and so filthy and so disgustingly polluted that even the armchair Christians will finally have to make a decision and say, enough! I'm not going to allow my soul to be defiled anymore. Enough. I'm standing up and I'm going to seek the Lord of all purity and righteousness and holiness and cleanness. I've had enough and I'm not going to go the way of the world anymore. And I'm not going to let the soul deadening distractions kill my soul anymore. Let the earth and the world go any way it wants and let it perish in hell. I am going to serve the Lord. For those who don't make that decision, for those armchair Christians who stay in their armchair and who never make that decision, they will perish in all their distractions. They will perish in their distractions if they did not finally, once and for all, become alarmed at the state of the filthiness of their entertainment and say, enough, I'm serving the Lord. Now for those who do stand up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, a wonderful thing happens, and that is, These fiery trials begin to burn off all the things that are polluting us, all the things that are making us dirty. It begins to fill us with an unspeakable joy as we become cleaned from all of these things of this world. We become filled with an unspeakable joy. And so let me encourage every person to take these words to heart, to be greatly strengthened and greatly encouraged. If you are being distracted by the things of the world, as you are, as we all are, put them aside to seek the Lord. Remember that we'll perish if we don't return to our first love. The Lord says He will take our lampstand away. So remember, this is life and death. And then if you have decided to follow the Lord with all your heart, you're going to get hammered and smashed. And just remember, for those who truly love God, that fiery testing will serve to make you filled with joy. You will be blessed by cleanliness. The cleanliness of God will fill you and make you a spotless, innocent child of God in the midst of the perverse generation. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we thank You for Your faithfulness to us. We thank You, Lord God, that as we are pummeled and as we are attacked, Lord God, we praise You that it's because You love us, because we have decided to walk with You, and that You are doing a good work in the midst of these seeming random disasters that are happening, Lord God. You are doing a great work to separate us unto Yourself. And for that, we thank You. And Lord, I pray that You'd greatly strengthen my brothers and sisters today to face what is going on this week, and that they will find joy and comfort in You, and that Your beauty would radiate from their countenance. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, O God of all authority. We bless Your name in the name of Jesus. Amen. We really appreciate you joining us today. We have so many precious brothers and sisters that we met in our travels, and we're just so grateful that we can connect with you, at least via these electronics. And we just bless God for this time that we could share together today. So God bless your week, and we look forward to seeing you next week.